Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, available on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. Subscribe on the NFL channel and NFL.com. As you can see, if you're looking at us, if you're listening, hope the audio issues aren't too much of a deterrent for you. But as you can see, like I say, if you're watching, that we have a full Studio 66. We are joined by Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, and all the way from London, England, our resident Miami Dolphins fan, it's Handsome Hank.
Well, Hank keep getting these.
I know.
And me and MJD ain't got no song.
I know. I hear you. He's Handsome
Hank. He's Handsome Hank. You like how good that all? You want...
That?
There he goes. He did it. Did his big payoff there.
Wow.
Ike, you can't hate that.
I can't deny it. Right.
That was when you get yours.
I'm gonna hate on that.
When
that
you get your thing too.
I'm gonna hate on that. That
really?
Because I don't get one. So I mean,
you might as well. That was weak.
It was weak. You gotta do the two fingers.
Listen, I don't want to slight to you, Ike, or MJD, but facts are facts. Like I say, the full show going forward is always going to be available on YouTube. And to prove it, people are commenting on it. The most recent episode of the DDFP drew these comments. Take a look at these. I was surprised by this. Look, first of all, number two, Ricky. Since I'd always followed the podcast, the audio, I had no freaking clue Handsome Hank was so gosh darn.
You got a
handsome.
Man crush.
Yeah. Holla at me, number two, Ricky.
Yeah. Holla at him.
Hollywood modeling, even. Look at Hollywood modeling also.
Oh, really?
Different picture of Handsome Hank. I assume he means that in a positive way for you, Handsome. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, we didn't name him Handsome Hank
for
by
no
accident.
Reason. Like, y'all got it messed up. Handsome Hank? Really?
And then Agent of Chaos for some reason. I think we talked a little bit of Peyton there. I said Peyton would never win another Super Bowl.
Right.
And I said Aaron Rodgers is number one.
True.
But Agent of Chaos. Agree. So you're with me, MJD, right?
True.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
You're with that as well? Yeah. All right, coming up on today's show, very excited about this. In a little while, Andrew Luck, my fellow bearded friend, is going to join us here in Studio 66 on the big TV there. So we'll kibitz with him about this, that, and the other. Right now, though, let's talk about very important stuff. Andrew Luck came into the league. He was the first overall pick. The guy was drafted directly after him. RG3, they've taken very different paths since their rookie seasons, both successful. RG3, Ike, I'm going to start with you. What do you think about this Kirk Cousins jazz?
Oh, man, you got to go with it.
You do?
I mean, you've given RG3 enough opportunities, you know, and right now it's not working. So, obviously, it's not Coach Gruden's guy, you know what I'm saying? So, for the most part, Kirk Cousins is going to give him the best opportunity within these 16 games.
You think so? That's what the thing. You know, here's what happens. You put these so-called game managers, these guys who really ought to be backup QBs. Let's be honest. That's what Michigan State grooms. Brian Hoyer, Earl Morrill, Tony Banks, and everybody else. They should be called, instead of the Michigan State Spartans, they should be the Not Startans.
The Not Startins?
Yeah, something like that, or the clipboard.
You might as well go with him. Like, you got to get a man a shot. You know what
he throws,
saying?
But he throws. He's going to throw a lot of picks too. Everybody thinks, well, he'll just take care of the ball. No, he won't.
Nah, it's not even the taking care of the ball part, man. It's not even managing the offense. Like, you got to give the man 16 games. Like, we've been talking about Johnny Manziel and McCown in a situation over there. You still have to give the guy 16 games to see what he's working with.
Always going back to Manziel.
Because I like Manziel. The same thing with Kirk. Like, he got drafted in the fourth round. It's a reason why Coach Shanahan drafted a man in the fourth round. It's a reason.
Yeah, you can say no one else.
Nah, it sounds good. You can say RG3 for sure. And he gave everybody what they was looking for in their first rookie season. Now it's like, where's Waldo?
Right. Well, but that's the point, Handsome. The thing is that season didn't happen 20 years ago. It was just a handful of years ago that he had this season. So he hurts his knee, and it was significant. But that, I mean, the idea in the 21st century that this has now just robbed him of all his powers is ridiculous. I don't think it's a physical issue. It's an emotional, mental issue. And Jay Gruden never wanted this guy. Witness the fact that when he was in Cincinnati and was the offensive coordinator, Mike Brown wanted to take Colin Kaepernick. Jay Gruden talked him out of that and talked him into Andy Dalton. Does that seem like the sort of guy that would want RG3 under center on his team?
No, I mean, no, probably not. But I think going back to what you were saying, RG3, where he was in 2012, and we all expected huge things out of him, it's not like Michael Vick, and it's not like Johnny Manziel, it's not like Ryan Mallett, all the guys you've been saying should be starting. Because we've got the book on RG3 over the last 2 years. We've seen what he's able to do and what he's not capable of doing anymore. Whereas those other guys you've been talking about are ones that, you know, like, promise a lot. We know what RG3 can do, and at this point, Cousins is the better option.
Oh.
Reverse the role with me. So give me what you're giving me now as a rookie, and I can deal with that, because I can make the excuse is he's a rookie, he's going to make rookie mistakes, it's going to take time. Don't give me this fast start, and now the fast start ain't working no more, and it's, well, my offensive line, or it's not really all my fault. Or that's what I think mostly has been a problem for RG3. Like, when you're talking to the media, just keep your mouth closed. As a player, that I got my quarterback saying and not taking ownership, and for the most part, it's always not going to be your fault. But, for the most part, man, you're the franchise guy. Like, you're the face of the franchise. So
it comes
with ownership, but I'm just saying, man, reverse me the road. If you're going to give me something right now in your third and fourth career, I'm gonna be upset because what you gave me in your rookie season, man, you
set the ball
high. Twilight Zone.
MJD, how say you?
My problem is there's no consistency with RG3, right? He goes Shanahan, you get rid of Shanahan, you go Gruden. Not only with Gruden, remember what Gruden did with Dalton in the very beginning? It was short drops, aggressive protection, get the ball out quick, let him get comfortable. RG3 doesn't get that. RG3 is doing seven-step drops. You're not using his talents. When you're a coach, you're supposed to go to the player's talents, not to make the player who you want him to be. So RG3 is a rollout guy. He does better on the run. He does better with short, aggressive pass. He likes to get into a rhythm. But you're right, Ike. I mean, when you're talking about a guy who says, it's not my fault, is it? The first thing in a leader that I was always taught in high school was that you are wrong. When you lose, it's your fault. Right. When you win, it's everyone else. They did a great job.
Correct.
That's what leaders do. You take on all the blame, then you pass out all the success.
Correct.
No one taught him that. So, yeah, part of that decision is your locker room doesn't like you.
Right.
Right. Part of that decision is you're not playing well. And part of that, you're too confident. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be able to take the blame. And because people, you're a quarterback. Everybody knows, win or lose, the quarterback's going to get all the credit or all the blame.
One to two.
Well, but, you know, what you're getting at, first of all, that so guys didn't like him in the locker room.
Well,
you
know, I don't
he's
know.
He's too arrogant. I think, listen, it's pretty well covered, Ike, that Roethlisberger wasn't always the most popular guy in the Steelers locker room. I don't think it's a requirement. I bet you Marino had plenty of enemies in that Miami because of his arrogance.
But to Ben's defense, he never, and we know in some years he played quarterback, his offensive line wasn't that good or up to par.
Super Bowl in 43, that was one of the worst offensive lines ever.
Some of that you could have said that was his fault. Some of that you could have said offensive line fault. He still never threw his guys.
Touche, that's a great point. You're right.
Never threw his guys under the bus. All that beatings and them sacks and them injuries, he never said, man, I wish my offensive line would have blocked
you. You know what? That's absolutely right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right about
so,
that. Yeah.
Now as a player, it was like, yeah, he could be kind of shady sometimes. At the same time, we got to understand what comes with the quarterback, what comes with being an NFL quarterback. But 7 ain't never throwing nobody under the bus.
I hear you. The thing to me is, it really comes down to me, RG3 is not a guy you should be running out there right now looking like he does. But I blame Jay Gruden more. I would rather have RG3 as my starting quarterback than I would Jay Gruden as my head coach. You talk about a leader. That is not a leader of an NFL locker room from what I can tell.
I think it's more from a player standpoint. Like, you could say what you want to say. You could talk about these coaches, but the coaches still got to sit on the sideline while them players play. So if I'm a player and I feel better with my guy, Kirk Cousins, out there, I'm going to put a little bit more extra time in. I'm going to make sure this guy have a few more seconds in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I understand, man, yeah, when a game doesn't go his way all the time, he's not throwing anybody under the bus. I can accept that. I can deal with that. So I can deal with a loss. Because when he loses, it's everybody or my loss. If we were talking about RG3. Mm-hmm. If Kurt loses, man, I should have played a better game and I should know better. Like, right. Some of the mistakes I made, I shouldn't have made. And as a player, as an offensive lineman, and he know he played offense, it's like, I can deal with that.
Mm-hmm. As an offensive lineman, you have the, you have probably the hardest job on the field.
No question.
And that's what people don't understand. You have to do backwards what the guy is doing to you, more athletic. He's more athletic than you are, so I got to block a guy
coming
at me.
Playing corner, but in the interior.
Yeah, right. And so my thing with RG3 is, and my whole thing with their whole organization is, you have to have someone to help RG3. Right? He's 21 years old.
That's my point. I do want to talk about where a good destination for RG3 would be. But real quick, let's see if Gruden made the right call here.
That's his destination, second team.
What is?
Second string. That's his destination right there, second string.
Maybe third string behind Colt McCoy. We'll see about that. But let's see if Gruden made the right choice here, as determined by Madden. We've pitted DC's finest against DC's finest. The only change is Kirk Cousins versus RG3. There they are. There's Colt right there. Opening drive. Cousins drops back on third and five. Looks for Garcon in the flat. Picked off by D'Angelo Hall. 35 yards all the way to pay dirt. 7-0 for RG3's team. On to the second half. RG3 trying to build on a 21-point lead. Griffin drops back on third and five. And here comes Kerrigan sacked. Cousins' defense trying to keep it close.
He's going
to
get up slow.
To the fourth quarter, Cousins down 18 with 4.5 left. Cousins looks for Garcon, picked off by Ryan Kerrigan. RG3 takes over at the 30. There he goes to Andre Roberts, gets it down to the 2. RG3 wants to put this one away, first and goal. Silas Red, Penn State, USC, DC, touchdown. 35-10, RG3 rolls. 35-7.
So this where we at in life now? We abracadabra. Let's do the John Madden Washington versus Washington.
Ike, I don't know if you're a Madden guy.
I play Madden a lot.
Do you? All right. Well, this guy right here, MJD, loves it.
Yeah.
This is his thing.
The Madden guy.
Do you buy that little simulation we just ran there? Somehow
that took away from our talk time.
Did it.
I feel like that little Madden took away from my talk time.
Black Tie, you should know better. Information. That was quality information.
You should know better, Black Tie.
That's like better than writing it down.
I would rather talk about it. Like, why are we sitting here and you commentating with your voice and got that going on and we just sitting here looking at
you? I felt like that was an indictment of my voice.
Okay.
Am I not good at play-by-play?
I thought you did
That was pretty good.
I don't have
I enjoy listening to you, but I'd rather talk this out.
All right, listen, let's talk it out. And Handsome, actually, I'm sorry I interrupted you. What do you have to say about Jay Gruden and RG?
I'm not a Jay Gruden defender, but I don't think, and I think any coach going to that situation knew that they were going to be hamstrung by the fact that the ownership wanted RG3 to succeed, and they were going to make you do everything you could.
So then why did they hire Jay Gruden, and why did he take the job?
How many people turned down the job before
that? I would turn it down if I can't get it the way I want it. Put it this way, I'm going to go out swinging my way.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it's not going to be the ownership's problem. It's not going to be anyone's, but it's going to be my problem as a coach, right? So if I don't win more than 4 games this year, this was going to be the third or fourth time they haven't won more than 5 or 6 games, whatever it may be, I'm going to get fired. So why would I put myself in that situation to end up going back to be the OC for the Bengals?
And I feel like that's what Coach Jay Gruden is doing. Like, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with the guy I want, which is obviously Kirk Cousins.
I suppose. But my point is, goes back to what it was the day Jay Gruden was hired. First of all, you know, I don't know about nepotism in the NFL. You hear about that. But legitimately, what was Dan Snyder thinking in hiring John Gruden's brother?
I don't think he had a lot of options.
If you look at you look at the Bengals and how unproductive they, I mean, I know they had the one season with Andy Dalton, but there was no indication watching what Jay Gruden did with that Cincy offense that he was ready to step up and be a head coach. There are only 32 of these gigs on the face of the earth, and Jay Gruden has one of them? Loco.
You still got to give the guy a chance. I mean, we forgot Coach Belichick and Coach Pete Carroll when them guys came out. Just like all of a sudden, we just completely forget how they started.
Right.
Like, we completely forgetting how they started.
All right, I get you. But I've seen enough now to know that he doesn't need to be
in that game.
It was different,
though, with Belichick. I mean, he has players in New England.
He didn't have players. What about Coach Pete Carroll?
He had to learn through some mistakes. I read his book. He had to learn through some mistakes he was making early on. But you have players in Washington. They pay everybody. They go get everybody. You should be able to win more than four games a year.
I mean, it's because you pay everybody don't mean they're good.
No, but they're more talented than what the Browns were when Bill had them.
It's a good tennis match going back and forth. Now, Ike, I'm going to start with you. Where can, if you think he can do it at all, I happen to believe RG3 can turn it around. He's too physically talented to not have a chance. He just needs to be put in the right situation. Where is that?
I'll put him backing up in Seattle. He'll be my second team guy in Seattle, right behind Russell, because he's not going to have to do too much. I got a nice defense. I'm really not going to ask you to do too much. Just hold the ball.
Interesting.
And people don't understand, when Russell Wilson doesn't see anything, he runs for daylight. He's been like the number one quarterback in rushing yards since he's been in the league. I got RG3. He can do the same.
That would be a great.
That's what he wanted to do anyway.
If he took a one-year deal and sat behind Russell Wilson and watched what Russell knows. Because that's, I mean, really, it's a paradox that such a hyper-talented, physically speaking, RG3 guy that he is, that he can't learn the hook slide. I mean, legitimately, I find that hard to believe that he can't figure that out.
And now we have a better relationship when it comes to the coaching side.
Right.
Everybody knows Coach Pete Carroll is a player's coach, and they love playing for coach.
They're a lot like the Oakland Raiders of the 70s. They'll take your rejects and turn you around.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a good fit. He'll be more relaxed. It's a whole different atmosphere. They're used to winning. Some of that, or a lot of that, going to start to rub off on him. He can learn under Russell, and still, they're still the same kind of guy, just different height. And Russell obviously is a couple of years ahead of when you want to talk about success, but RG3, I think, would be a great fit backing up.
I think, yeah, that's right. It's a mental issue. Some guys are more fragile. Everybody isn't the sheriff, Peyton Manning, who is, the student and everything. Some guys need to be massaged a little bit,
Right.
That's all. Where's the best place for him to go? Where could he get
I think along
the, right
the same lines, but with a future, Arizona would be a good place.
Bruce
Arians
so
is great with quarterbacks. Carson Palmer's future is probably not, doesn't go much longer.
Right.
Maybe
he
can spend a year under Carson Palmer, maybe two. Arians can get in his head and restore the confidence and everything, and then he's the guy who could just step straight in and be the quarterback there.
That's a good one.
It's a good call.
Gosh.
That's a good one.
You like that?
I like that.
That's
a
good
one. Some football, but I'm going to do something better than that.
Okay.
I'm going to go. I got two places.
Ever amazed that you know anything about football because you have a British accent.
Yeah, it kills me. first, I would say Philly, because that's the system he came out of in college. Right, the read option, spread system, get the ball out quick.
I think that's a great one, yes.
Help. You don't have to figure out who's blitzing which way. You got hots every which way. Throw the ball out.
There is one problem with that. Your guy Tebow wouldn't be there. He probably wouldn't make the roster if that happened. Are
you know what?
Be okay with that?
I guess you call me a Tebow hater because I'm just I'm a football guy. I like football. He can't.
He's a great American.
He's a great American.
A great American.
He's an
average quarterback.
Kanye West. Yeah. That's neither here nor there. And number two, Denver.
That's the one I called, and people thought I was crazy.
He was really good. And, I mean, the same bootleg system, quick step, run the ball, like you said. Defense is going to be there. You have Von Miller, T.J. Ward, Atib Khalid.
Yeah,
there we go.
I'm
going to call him.
What do you think, by the way, as a UCLA guy, what do you think of their running back, So-So Jumabo? I love that name. That name sends me to heaven.
You know what? I never really got a chance to see him play, but with a name like that, he has to be able to
play. It doesn't matter. It's just saying the name that's
right.
The pleasure of it.
Right. And I think people would love to say that when he rushes for 60, 70-yard runs.
I agree with you about – I think we covered them all. Arizona, Arians. The other one is Chan Gailey does wonders no matter who the QB is. I think if you put him wherever Chan Gailey is.
Yeah, I don't think he needs to go to New York.
Maybe that would be not
good
for the surroundings.
Too much, the media.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right now, he's very sensitive towards the media.
I suppose that's true. And although it's interesting, Bryce Petty, also of Baylor, his successor, is working with Chan Gailey now. Hey, fellas, the season's about to start. I just wrote a piece, though, that's on NFL.com that you can look for. Dream matchups for Super Bowl 50. Go into history. Go into whatever you think is the most compelling based on, Andrew Luck, who we're going to talk to in a minute, going against Legion of Boom. Let your mind run free. What would be the most satisfying, the most fun Super Bowl matchup? MJD, I start with you.
I'm going to either say Raiders or Jags, but I'm going to go with the Jags because they've never been to the Super Bowl. Versus the Detroit Lions, who've never been to the Super Bowl.
I like that. That's aspirational. What, though, if the Raiders played the Jags in the AFC title game? Who would you root for?
I'm torn. I don't know. I have one child who likes the Raiders, one who likes the Jags. grew up a Raiders fan, mm-hmm. but Jags gave me a lot of money, right?
Is your kid, though, who used to like the Jags and he had a Josh Scobie jersey that That's you him. Told us about, which is the greatest humiliation for a football player who actually yes. plays and not, doesn't just kick the ball, that he got the kicker instead of you, his father. It, but with him now being on the Steelers, will you now have to get him a Scobie Steeler jersey?
He doesn't know. We lost our dog today, so he's a little emotional.
Like, sorry
too
to hear
too
that.
Much bad news in one day might just crush him.
Tomorrow,
yeah, football practice. Yeah, tomorrow. I'll tell him tomorrow.
Ike, we should get him a Steeler jersey.
Yeah, we should get him.
Ike, how say you? What's the best matchup?
So this is going to be very odd, and please don't smack me. None of y'all smack me. But I'm going to St. Louis and the Browns.
What? Oh, why would you want to see that?
Browns. Who wants to see the Browns? Their uniforms are horrible.
See, that's the problem.
They might play in the season. That would be fine. We don't need to see them in a Super Bowl.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Haven't we suffered enough after watching them for 16 games?
He loves
Manziel. I need a break.
We abracadabra. You asked me who would I like. I gave you who I like, and you don't like it?
Ike, what
That's
happened?
Fine, but how do you not have the Pittsburgh Steelers? You want them to lose to the Cleveland Browns? And go?
I mean, realistically, I got Seattle and Pittsburgh, but just abracadabra, man, I'm going to go with St. Louis
Let
and
me
the
ask
Browns.
You something real quick. The Steelers secondary looks really bad in the preseason. This is really testing my long-held belief, and I really do believe this. Correct me if I'm wrong about this, fellas. Is I think everything you see in August is a lie. Just ignore it. Don't. If you pay attention to it, it'll make you crazy. Now I think this team's going to win. Now I think that guy's going to be great. Oh, that quarterback looks terrible. It means nothing come September. Whatever you see, just erase it from your mind. That said, is the Steelers secondary in real trouble?
I think they'll be in trouble till week 8.
Hmm.
The mid-season. It's a whole new group, whole new defense coordinator. It's a hybrid from the 3-4 to a 4-3. So the mix, the camaraderie, the getting to know each other, it's going to be different right now. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's going to take a while. It's going to take some weeks. Like, yeah, they've been practicing in training camp, OTAs and off season, but now genuinely just getting game planned. So now when I get game planned, now I really see what I'm working with and what I'm not working with, what's my strength, my strong points, and what's my weaknesses as a defense. Because going into the preseason, yeah, you might think you have a strong point, but going into the season, when you get game plan, it's like, dang, that strong point I had isn't that strong as what I thought. That might be my weakness, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I just think about time week 8 teams really figure out themselves, and I think Pittsburgh around that time, with the help of the offense, is going to figure it out.
Boy, but they have the most miserable run of games right around that time of any team in the NFL. Look up their schedule. Handsome, how say you? What's your dream matchup? Surely it's your team that wears aqua.
I think the Miami Dolphins.
Say that color, though, for these guys.
Aqua.
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 That's how you say it.
Aqua.
Like an aqueduct, not an aqueduct.
I guess we say aqua velva.
So what makes your vocabulary so proper than mine?
Because.
So what's wrong with aqua?
Because what language do you speak?
English.
English. So where did it start?
Broken English.
It's an American.
Yeah.
No.
You're on American soil, so you're American.
I understand I'm here, but I'm here to educate.
You're the outcast
here to educate
right now.
And teach.
Yeah.
You're the outcast.
As a kid, teach you some American language.
All right. Well, it can be a dual language.
And his children, are American. That's the real conundrum for him.
You're aqua.
Well, it's like orange chicken. Like, you go to China, you get orange chicken, it doesn't look like Panda Express. Different story.
I was wondering how that analogy was going to work itself out there.
So, how do you say orange chicken?
Orange. No, orange.
See, down south, we say orange.
Have him say the best word is after the Super Bowl is won and the team is out there on the field and that paper
confetti.
Starts falling, say that
confetti.
Word.
Confetti.
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 Confetti. Confetti.
Man, he make my brain hurt. Just
strawberries. Literally.
He pronounced every
like
vowel.
A capital F? T's. Is it like a capital F in there?
The best is when you watch Game of Thrones or any British thing that revolves around battle, they always say in every episode, they always refer to war. They always say it like that.
Why y'all string the war? Why you gotta sit up like that and do it? Like, why you say it again?
War.
Don't play it, war. cowboy. That's what the sort of things they say.
Why?
Why? I don't know.
Handsome, tell us your Super Bowl matchup.
I would put the Miami Dolphins against the Dallas Cowboys, and then I can seal this with my son, who is still waving towards becoming a Cowboys fan. The Dolphins beat them. The Dolphins beat them in Super Bowl 50. Game over. He's a Dolphins fan.
That's why.
I can take him to the game.
So nobody like my St. Louis.
Well, I like here the Archie Bowl. Archie's sons get together. I think that would be fun because really, if you think about that, well, think about what would happen. If Peyton would beat Eli in a Super Bowl, he would go down as the greatest quarterback of all time. If he would lose that game, he wouldn't be the best quarterback in his own family.
He's not, Peyton, he's Peyton, not the best quarterback in the Super Bowl.
I agree, but it would be interesting. But it is. I mean, I think that's how it would be.
But he's
perceived.
Not the best quarterback in his family.
I also like.
You hear what he just said?
I heard it. Okay. I'm not the person to bring. I kind of agree with you.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't kind need the convention.
I think I think Peyton is better than Eli.
No.
We can
not
dig into
counts.
That one later.
Not when it counts.
Well, that is why I say Eli. Give me him in January.
All day.
Here's
all
the
day,
thing. I don't think Peyton's a choker. We can have this, but people always tell me what I'm a Peyton hater. I don't think he chokes. Rather, I don't think his skill set lends itself to defeating high-end defenses. When it counts, he can sneak balls by. When it's warm against the Oakland Raiders in September, he can do that. It doesn't work when you try to do that against good defenses in January. That's it.
Why did you have to throw the Raiders out?
I'm sorry I said it. I know.
We're working our way back.
Because the Raiders don't get to January, so I thought that was put him in sharper relief there. I like the Elite Bowl, the Patriots versus the Packers. This would settle once and for all who the best quarterback of the 21st century is. However, I'm not saying this to curry favor with you. Well, again, then again, you're a Browns fan now. If Roethlisberger if Roethlisberger wins a Super Bowl, then he pretty, he strongly inserts his name into that conversation.
In what conversation?
Best quarterback of the 21st century.
So why is he not in that conversation right now?
He is to me, but I'm saying if Aaron Rodgers wins, I don't think there will be much.
So what makes Aaron Rodgers better than Ben Roethlisberger? He only has one Super Bowl.
Well, you played
Ben
that Super Bowl
in that game.
Huh?
He beat Ben Roethlisberger in that game.
True statement. I can't disagree. Like
that wasn't nice to do.
How do you do that? Like he's trying to
manipulate the same thing he did with his son. Told his son he liked Miami. Bought him to the Dallas Cowboys. Trying to keep nonsense confused.
Super Bowl. Right.
That's him. Be careful with
him. You gotta watch that snake.
Just because he's handsome, that's what he does. He's diabolical.
Watch that snake.
Next one, the bestest Super Bowl. This is based on if this would be the final four. The Patriots have been in what, six Super Bowls? Something like that? Six or seven, maybe even. They've won four. They play the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have six Super Bowls. Then on the other side, 49ers and Cowboys battle it out. They have the most on the NFC side. Steelers, Cowboys, they've played three Super Bowls already. What better way for the golden anniversary to be played than with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys? Whoever wins is undoubtedly the greatest franchise.
So why do I keep calling Dallas Cowboys the American team?
It's because it's silly. The
Super Bowl where the quarterback threw it right to the DB? Was that the Cowboys DB that caught it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What was he thinking?
Neil O'Donnell went and handed the ball off to Larry Brown twice in the second.
Larry got paid off that game, too.
Yes, he did.
He disappeared.
Then he went to the Raiders, right?
He went to the Raiders.
Then he like Super Bowl MVPs do.
Neil O'Donnell got paid, too. He ran off to the Jets. Instead of coming back and making things right the following season after he was directly responsible for handing over Super Bowl 30, what would have gone down as one of the great defensive performances of all time. Nobody took away Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
When the second quarter got going, they shut that team down, and it still didn't end up in victory.
That's because Donald was handing the ball off to people like it was a thing to do. The one pass, he literally looked at the guy and was like, no, come this way a little more.
Okay. It makes me sick. I don't want to talk about that one anymore. All right, listen, speaking of which, why don't you guys go? Because I want to spend some quality time with number 12 Indianapolis Colts. Well, we have to talk about
Can't spend no time with them?
What?
Why don't you guys go get something to eat or something? Get a drink. Hey, but real quick, though.
Basically, that's
before you guys go, though. Before you guys go, Sully behind the glass with the mustache.
Sully with the stash.
I want to hear what your three matchup is. The reason I want to know this is because, just as a reminder, Sully is very proud that he's from the state of Tennessee. I love Tennessee. I'm a Vol, all things volunteer football. I love that. Peyton Manning's my guy. And yet, he also claims to be a Seattle Seahawks fan.
Right.
Who did you root for when the Seahawks and Broncos played 2 years ago?
Seahawks.
What? How can you be born and raised?
Last time I checked, Peyton Manning didn't have a T on the side of his helmet in that Super Bowl. He had a.
He's Bronco. The greatest ever to come out.
Hey, Stully.
He's your guy.
Hey, Stully. Yeah. Speaking of college football, Tennessee going to be real good this year.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to be real good.
Win the SEC. Year. Mark it down.
No,
they're not going to win the SEC.
I say.
Hey, Black Tie, get that back from me.
I say to you, Sully, shame. Shame on you, sir. How could you root? You rooted against your home state.
And make sure you use that mustache.
I don't think we want to see him wandering naked through the
bell. Sure, front runner.
Shame.
MJD is following you around with the bell. That's right.
Behead him.
Shame.
Behead him.
It's terrible. You know what? You deserve no leniency. A team that lives 4,000 miles away that you embrace because they're good, what a front runner.
2004?
Because my brother.
He says 2004, then he goes, they went to the playoffs in 2005, went to the Super Bowl. I was like, no, let's. That sounds a little fishy. Let's dig more into that. Then we come to find out he really wasn't a fan until a couple years ago.
I know.
Right.
Well, I'm not a front runner. What you mean when Sean Alexander and company went to that Super Bowl and lost to
telling us to wrap it up.
Black Tie always wants to have no fun. I don't know. Is Andrew Luck calling in, Black Tie? Do you want to share one?
I'm sorry, just because Andrew Luck's calling into the show right now. Guys.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about soccer?
Well, put Andrew Luck on hold.
Let's talk soccer. The transfer deadline was today.
Man, no one cares.
All right. Only one that cares is this guy.
I don't care. I don't care.
How are you from London and you don't like soccer? This is what I'm talking about. What is going on?
I think this nonsense. That's nice, though, isn't it? Don't you think that it's nice?
Check his background.
Black Tie's going crazy. That must mean Andrew Luck's calling in. Hey, MJD,
thanks
Ike Taylor,
me.
Handsome Hank, what a pleasure. Let's do it again, I don't know, later this week.
All right.
Next week. You know what? Football season's just about here.
Ooh, can't wait.
It's exciting. All right. Let's get to it now. It's my big time with number 12, Andrew Luck.
Let one fly. Kemp sets up looks. He throws. Caught. Looking. A fake, he's going to run. Touchdown, he's fourth of the year. Ties a Colts record.
Well, 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 look who it is, everybody. Some call him the best in the business right now. He's certainly in that conversation already. Going into year number 4, brought to us by DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket. I assume, I hope that everybody's getting in. It's Andrew Luck. What's the poop, fella? How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm sorry. I don't want this to come off like an attack, but right out of the gate, I have to ask you, why pine green Colts? Who decided that? Your colors are blue and white, man.
This is gray. I think it's the
color is that right?
Spectrum, you know, whatever
all right.
it is.
All right. Otherwise, you're looking good. Here, suit as ever. I enjoy the beard. And in fact, you inspired me to grow one. We talked a year ago. I offered to shave you. You rejected me. How about this time around? Would you be willing, when you have a free moment, to give me a shave?
No, thank you. I'd probably mess it up or something.
Oh, well, you saved it there and put it on you, but I can't help but feel a little slighted. Now, listen, like I say, year 4, 3 straight playoff appearances, people all over Football America singing songs about your greatness. And yet, when I asked you this last year, and plus you have that horseshoe on your hat, if you, with the surname Luck, feel like you are a lucky guy? You said you've never considered that before. Have you and the family put your heads together and said, like, our surname is Luck, we should consider fortune?
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny because I try to use fortune when I'm talking because I feel like if I use luck, you know, it's weird because of my last name. You know what our dad always told us that, you know, luck goes both ways. It can be bad or good. So, but I guess we'll use fortune.
Well, I'm not telling you anything. Obviously, coming into the league when you did, there are all sorts of big-name QBs. And when you made the scene, or when any big-name QB makes the scene, people say, this guy's going to win multiple Lombardi trophies. And, of course, they only hand out one each year, so that kind of gets in the way of those proclamations. But when it's all said and done for you, do you feel that you have to have a Lombardi to feel, I don't know, satiated or successful in your NFL career, validated? Is that something that I have to have it or else?
You know, that's a good question. I think every year the goal is to go win one, to go win a Super Bowl, find a way to make it to the playoffs and give yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl. So that's the goal. So if you're working for it and you don't get it, you feel like you haven't succeeded. You know, but beyond that, I try to take a sort of day-to-day approach and, you know, not think too far down the road. Coach Pagano talks a lot about being where your feet are and trusting the process, and that's sort of where we are right now.
Do you then, so, I mean, obviously the ring count, this is what people like myself sit around and do because we don't get to go and toil on the field. Instead, we hold people to the high standard of you need to have Lombardis and so on and so forth. Let me just put you on the spot. Andrew Luck cannot be the answer. The fate of the planet hangs in the balance. You can only have one quarterback play that 60-minute game. Who is that quarterback?
Jim Plunkett.
I love that answer. Excellent stuff.
So do I.
Well done. See, that was. See, I hope all the other quarterbacks out there are paying attention. That wasn't a non-answer, but it was cute. You see, he didn't have to pick and choose between the currents. I left it open-ended, and you seized on that. And kudos to you with your Stanford education. Well done, sir. All right, let's get into a couple other things, and then I want to talk about what DirecTV specifically has going this year. But real quick, you're a quarterback. A couple of completions here. You have to complete my sentence, if you would, and let's jump into it. The MVP trophy of the NFL, which currently is nameless, should be named after blank.
Ooh, good question. The MVP trophy. Who's won it the most times? There's a question
for you. I think it's Peyton or Favre. Well,
he's still playing, so you can't name it after him yet.
Right.
maybe it should be his when he's retired, whenever that is.
Yeah. All right. You know, I was surprised you didn't go with Jim Plunkett there. I thought, you know, I thought Plunkett might be the second time you answered with him. The movie you've watched the most in your life, Andrew Luck. We need to know who you are.
Oh, okay. I went through a phase in middle school. I watched Remember the Titans a lot.
Ah.
A lot. I don't think I've watched anything to top those numbers yet.
Who would you most want to play in show business if, when they make the Andrew Luck story?
Oh, Viggo Mortensen, would that work?
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I like that one quite a bit. The cornerback that keeps you up all night is blank.
Ooh, that would be admitting that I can't sleep at night, which I sleep all right most of the time. But I have a lot of healthy respect for Darrell Revis. He's a stud.
I gotcha. You're a soccer guy. Messi or Ronaldo, the best soccer player in the world is?
Messi. I enjoy watching him, but Ronaldo is also incredible. They're amazing. Clint Dempsey's the best. There you go.
You know, I say we want to get to know you a little bit. Explain this one to me. You seem like you couldn't be a more down-to-earth guy given all the stuff that surrounded you from an early age. The only thing that trips me up, why Andrew? Isn't that a little formal? Can't we go Andy?
My parents named me Andrew, and that's what they call me, so I figure that's what other people should call me.
All right, I guess that's a fair explanation. Can I call you Andy, though? Can I, maybe? Does anybody call you Andy?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. You have some guys with some great hairdos. Now, like I say, you have the great beard. I was thinking, though, which Colts teammates' hairdo do you think you would look best in? T.Y. Hilton? Matt Hasselbeck? Or Ooh. Kobe Fleener?
Can you call Matt Hasselbeck a hairdo?
No, I guess a hair don't or a hair not. Yeah, right.
I'd like to go with the T.Y. look.
I think we'd all enjoy seeing that one, and I'm going to say that is, in fact, the correct answer. We caught you on a Wired segment. They hooked you up and followed you around or listened to you throughout an NFL game. Take a listen to this real quick. I want to get your thoughts on this. Here's Andrew Luck calling the play.
Route. Deep, Scooby right, F short, switch, salt, swirl. Double count, ready? Cat. Ducks on ducks. Zebra. Quack. Read
that. All right, no jive real quick there, Andrew, not Andy. That was a conspiracy theory maybe, but that's just a bunch of nonsense, right? You're just doing that to intimidate the defense and make them think, like, this Luck's got a lot going on upstairs. True or false? Yeah,
it is a bunch of nonsense. We're just trying to confuse people.
I thought so. Now let's finish it off with this. And like we say, DirecTV's NFL Sunday ticket, nflsunday.tv/student. A nice little deal here going for kids in school, eh?
Yeah, no, it's $24.99 a month for 4 months. You get every out-of-market NFL game, you know, streamed to whatever device college kids have these days. So it's a great deal. I wish I had had it when I was school. I would have had a chance to watch my teammates, you know, that I played with that are playing in the NFL now. So I think it's a pretty sweet deal, and I hope guys and gals check it out.
Well, one more time, I want to say NFLSundayTicket.tv/student is how you get that special deal. It's DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket. Everyone under the sun knows it's the greatest thing to have if you are a pro football fan. Andrew Luck, stay healthy. Go get him this year. You're too likable not to root for.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Dave.
I still don't know about the green sweatshirt, even though he claims it's gray. You know, he seems like an honest guy. He won't shave me, though. That's the only outrageous thing. Who won't shave me? I can't shave him, and he won't shave me. A delightful man, and again, we wish him all the best in 2015. Thanks to him for joining us. MJD, Ike Taylor, Handsome Hank, the fellas behind the glass really doing a ton of toiling. The least you can do for their sake is subscribe to the show on iTunes and or Stitcher, or both. And go on YouTube and watch it. The whole thing is up there in all its glory for your perusal. In fact, why don't you comment on it so we can interact together about what you think about some of the stuff that we talked about, RG3, Andrew Luck, and beyond. We'll be back with another show later in the week. By the way, I know that some of you are curious, why no Yub Nub song? Well, that Lucas, he's too protective of his precious Yub Nub song for our little NFL show. Either way, we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.